Saram, dear listeners, and welcome back to continue our Thursday live broadcast from the studios of Radio Sai. Today being Thursday, you heard Bhagwan singing the Bhajan Manasa Bhajare Guru Charanam straight from Sai Kulwant Hall. And as the program session in the Mandir extended by almost half an hour today, we will go straight to Bhajan tutor and skip the Vedam tutor today. I know there are a lot of you who love to listen to the Vedam chanting and the Vedam tutor that happens immediately after Bhajans, but for want of time, we will have to skip that program and move quickly to Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. The time in the studios now is 6:51. I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu. And before I get started, I just want to share that whenever it came to Bhajan singing, Swami always said two important things. One is, when we are singing, we should sing loudly, we should sing full-throated, because the vibrations that we generate are so important, not only to ourselves, but also to all our surroundings, to everything around us, to the entire globe. These positive vibrations are so much needed today. At the same time, Swami said, after the bhajan is over, what is most important is to now be quiet. Just like after a darshan session, Swami always advised that we should be quiet so that we absorb these vibrations and make the most of these beautiful ambience and the positivity that we have created. It is the same with bhajans. We have to retain all those sublime emotions and the elevating feelings that we have generated within ourselves, so that they help to purify our being. Because ultimately, the purpose of every sadhana that we do, every bhajan session, every study circle session, is purity of heart, cultivating that purity of heart. And we have to benefit from these vibrations and take and make the most of them to help us purify our beings. So therefore, let us always remember that whenever we are in a bhajan session, we sing loudly, but after it is over, we just quieten ourselves and allow those sublime vibrations to go deep within us. With this beautiful thought that Bhagwan used to always mention, let us get started with Bhajan tutor proper for today. Let us start by remembering the Lord and picturing Him in our mind's eye. Let us first offer our most reverential and grateful salutations at the lotus feet of the omniscient, beloved Lord. Dear Lord, please bless us so that we always feel Your omnipresence, no matter wherever we are, no matter whatever we do. With this prayer, let's begin this fresh episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. And today, we will learn a bhajan that Bhagwan Himself has sung many times. The first line goes like this.
Subrahmanyam, Subrahmanyam, Shanmukhanatha Subrahmanyam.
So that is the bhajan which many of you might be familiar with. But today, we will go into the details of the tune, the raga, the beat, the meaning of every word of this bhajan, and in the end, you will listen to an excerpt of a presentation made during the National Bhajan Workshop by Ravi Kumar, Amay and Siddhartha in June 2013. So that is coming up towards the end of the program. For the present, let's begin with the lyrics.
Subrahmanyam, Subrahmanyam, Shanmukha Natha Subrahmanyam, 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 Sai Natha Subrahmanyam, Shiva 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 Subrahmanyam, Hara 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 Subrahmanyam, Shiva, Shiva, Hara Hara Subramanyam, Hara Hara Shiva Shiva Subramanyam. Shiva Sharavana Bhava Subramanyam, Guru Sharavana Bhava Subramanyam. Shiva Shiva Hara Hara Subramanyam, Hara Hara Shiva Shiva Subramanyam.
The lyrics done. Let's move on now to learning how to sing this bhajan. You will first hear Brother Ravi Kumar sing every line without any musical accompaniments. Then you will hear Anirudh follow him after every line. You too, dear listeners, please join Anirudh.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale E Madhyam. Subramanyam Subramanyam Shanmukhanatha Subramanyam
Subramanyam Subramanyam Shanmukhanatha Subramanyam
Subramanyam Subramanyam Shanmukhanatha Subramanyam
Subramanyam Subramanyam Shanmukhanatha Subramanyam
Subramanyam Subramanyam Sainatha Subramanyam
Subramanyam Subramanyam Sainatha Subramanyam
Subramanyam Subramanyam Sainatha Subramanyam
Subramanyam Subramanyam Sainatha Subramanyam
Shiva 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 Subramanyam Hara 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 Subramanyam
Shiva 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 Subramanyam Hara 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 Subramanyam
Shiva 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 Subramanyam Hara 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 Subramanyam
Shiva 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 Subramanyam Hara 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 Subramanyam
Shiva Shiva Hara Hara Subramanyam Hara Hara Shiva Shiva Subramanyam
Shiva Shiva Hara Hara Subramanyam Hara Hara Shiva Shiva Subramanyam
Shiva Shiva Hara Hara Subramanyam Hara Hara Shiva Shiva Subramanyam
Shiva Shiva Hara Hara Subramanyam Hara Hara Shiva Shiva Subramanyam
Shiva Sharavana Bhava Subramanyam Guru Sharavana Bhava Subramanyam
Shiva Sharavana Bhava Subramanyam Guru Saravana Bhava Subramanyam
Shiva Saravana Bhava Subramanyam Guru Saravana Bhava Subramanyam
Shiva Saravana Bhava Subramanyam Guru Saravana Bhava Subramanyam
Shiva Shiva Hara Hara Subramanyam Hara Hara Shiva Shiva Subramanyam
Shiva Shiva Hara Hara Subramanyam Hara Hara Shiva Shiva Subramanyam
Shiva Shiva Hara Hara Subramanyam Hara Hara Shiva Shiva Subramanyam
Shiva Shiva Hara Hara Subramanyam Hara Hara Shiva Shiva Subramanyam
Subramanyam Subramanyam Shanmukhanatha Subramanyam 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 Sainatha Subramanyam
So you heard the tune of this beautiful bhajan, vibrant bhajan, in the voices of Ravi Kumar and Anirudh. And now let's learn a little more about its swaras, its notes, and what is the raga behind this composition. Anirudh is here with us in the studios. So tell us, Anirudh, give us more insights into the swaras behind this bhajan.
Saram Vishu, this bhajan is a very interesting composition where you have just four notes.
Yes.
It's like you're just playing around with four notes.
Just four notes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And those notes are Ni Sa Re Ga.
Nisa Rega.
Yeah. Okay. And you can associate this bhajan to one or two or three ragas.
Okay.
But the feel of the notes and the way it is coming and going.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I think this bhajan can be associated to Hamsa Dvani Raga.
Okay.
I'll sing the Arohana and Avarohana of the Hamsa Dvani Raga.
Sure.
And then we'll relate the raga and the bhajan.
Sure.
So actually this scale is very high for explaining the Arohana and Avarohana of the raga. I'll sing in the bass octave.
Okay.
Sa re ga pa ni sa sa ni pa ga re sa. So in this raga you have sa re, re shudri, ga major shuddh ga, pa ni nis shudhni. So actually it will sound like sa re ga pa ni sa ni pa ga re sa ni sa ni re ga re ni sa. It will sound like that in this scale. Since this scale is most suited for the bhajan, the composition, so you can also sing in D madhyam, that is G or A. You can sing the bhajan.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, this bhajan has the feel of Hamsa Dvani Raga.
Yeah, now I'll come to relating the raga to the bhajan.
Yeah.
Actually, in the raga, you have the pancham.
Okay.
Sa re ga pa. But if you see the bhajan, there is no pancham. So, it is just playing around with ni sa re ga re sa sa re ga re ga re ga re sa re ga ni re ni re sa re ga re sa. So it's just playing around with these notes.
Yeah. So even though it doesn't have the pancham which is there in Hamsa Dvani Raga, still the feel is that of Hamsa Dvani Raga.
Yes.
Yeah. So Anirudh, maybe you can give us a comprehensive feel of the Hamsa Dvani Raga.
Yeah, sure. It is a very bright raga which generally people sing in the beginning of any concert.
Yes.
It is like this raga can be used as an invocation to Lord Ganesha. That's what I remember, this very popular kriti.
Vaitapi Ganapatim bhaje hum, Vaitapi Ganapatim bhaje hum.
It goes like that.
Wonderful.
It is a very popular Muthuswami Dikshitar Kriti.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, this is generally sung as an invocation in front of every concert. And I remember in Kodaikanal 1999, Swami asked Brother C.G. Sai Prakash to play this on the sitar.
On the sitar. Oh,
because
yeah,
we were preparing for a concert and we have prepared a few songs, but Swami asked, have you prepared for this? And then, you know, he played this on the sitar, and you mentioned that generally it is done seeking the blessings of Lord Ganesha.
Yeah.
And Swami created a chain for him at that time with a Ganesha pendant. So that just comes vividly to my mind as you mentioned this raga and this bhajan.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So shall we go on learning the swaras?
Yeah, sure. We'll learn the swaras in the metronome. 70 beats per minute.
Subramanyam, Subramanyam, Shanmukanatha Subramanyam. Ri ga ga ga, ri ga ga ga, ri ga ri sa sa, ri ri ga ga.
Ri ga ga ga, ri ga ga ga, ri ga ri sa sa, ri ri ga ga.
Subramanyam, Subramanyam, Sai Natha Subramanyam. Ne ri ri ri, ne ri ri ri, sa za ri ga ri sa sa sa.
Ne ri ri ri, ne ri ri ri, sa za ri ga ri sa sa sa.
Shiva 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 Subramanyam, Hara 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 Subramanyam. Ri ga 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 ri ga 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 ri ri ga ri ri sa 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 ri ri ga ga.
Ri ga 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 ri ga 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 ri ri ga ri ri sa 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 ri ri ga ga.
Shiva Shiva Hara Hara Subramanyam, Hara Hara Shiva Shiva Subramanyam. Ni ni ri ri ni ni ri ri ni ri 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 sa 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 ri ri ga ga ri sa sa sa.
Ni ni ri ri ni ni ri ri ni ri 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 sa 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 ri ri ga ga ri sa sa sa.
And the following stanza, I mean the next pair of lines.
Yeah.
Shiva Charavana Bhava Subramanyam.
Those two lines follow the same swaras and the same tune.
Yeah. So we can practice the same swaras for the rest of the lines of the bhajan. Wonderful. And as you mentioned, there are so many Ganesha bhajans in this raga.
Yeah, because that's what, it's a bright auspicious beginning.
Yes.
And so it's an invocatory raga.
Yes. Maybe Anirudh, you should sing a few lines.
Pahi Gajanana Dinavana.
It's a very popular Ganesh bhajan in Hamsadhwani. And I think you have Mahaganapate Namostute.
Arvind sir, do we have bhajans dedicated to any other deity in this raga?
The bhajan which comes to my mind is Shiva bhajan.
Yeah.
Jayatu Shiva, Natana Shiva.
Wonderful. I think that sort of gives us at least some idea of the raga and the notes of this bhajan. So shall we move on to the beat?
Yeah.
Arvind sir, if you have your kanjira, you have your kanjira here. So please give us a demonstration of the beat of this bhajan.
Yeah.
This bhajan is based on normal 8 beat, Adi Talam. So the count is 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Subramanyam, Subramanyam, Shanmukanatha Subramanyam.
Subramanyam, Subramanyam, Shanmukanatha Subramanyam.
Okay, I think that gives a good idea of the raga and the tala. Thank you so much, Arvind Sai and Anirudh. And hopefully we'll get more instances to discuss about other bhajans which are on this complete raga, on this bhajan which has the pa as well. So we'll probably get a better demonstration of this raga in the bhajan. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Vishu.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Now that we know the lyrics, the tune, the raga and tala, let's get into the most important aspect, the bhava, the feeling with which we should render this bhajan to the Lord. And to imbibe the bhava, we must understand the meaning of every word of this composition. Let's start with the first line.
Subramanyam, Subramanyam, Shanmukhanatha Subramanyam.
The word Subramanyam occurs thrice in this line. Lord Subramanya is generally adored as the son of Lord Shiva and Mother Parvati, and therefore a brother of Lord Ganesha. But Bhagwan says that the word Subramanya means he who has attained the realization of Brahman, of the universal absolute, of the cosmic consciousness. The late Miss Hilda Charlton, a great devotee of Baba, was among the early devotees from the Western world to come to Swami in the 60s. Interestingly, Hilda was guided in her meditation by Lord Subramanya, and in fact, she wrote later how this Lord first appeared to her. Hilda lived in Sri Lanka for many years among Buddhist sadhakas. Once, some friends arranged for her to visit a shrine dedicated to Lord Subramanya in present-day Sri Lanka in a place called Katharagama. Then this was situated deep in a jungle. The day she was supposed to leave, she woke up at 4 a.m. but feeling sleepy again, she lay down. Suddenly, she saw a young boy about 10 years of age, and his hair was beautiful, gleaming and black, and hung down to his shoulders. He was looking so resplendent. He wore a golden crown studded with jewels. And then she saw that this heavenly being authoritatively asking her to get up. And when she didn't respond, he repeated in a firmer voice, "Get up immediately and come." It was Lord Subramanya in that beautiful, charming form calling her. And that is how she went for the darshan of the Lord in Katharagama in Sri Lanka. Lord Subramanya had blessed her with the vision of his ever youthful form. This was the first time Hilda had experience of Lord Subramanya, also revered as Lord Muruga. Subsequently, Hilda had many wonderful experiences during that pilgrimage, which only reaffirmed her faith in the Lord. In fact, she later wrote a book called Skanda, and in that she mentions what Baba once told her about the name Subramanya. Baba said, "Subramanyam, son of Lord Shiva, is the personification of the highest possible state to which the law of evolution leads. His name means he who tends the spiritual growth of aspirants." Baba further added, "Knowing him in all his aspects amounts to knowing the spiritual possibilities latent in man. Through the Son, the Father is known." So that is something about Subramanya from Bhagwan himself. Moving on, the other word here is Shanmukhanatha, coming from Shanmukha and Natha. Shanmukha can be split into Shan, coming from Shat, meaning six, and Mukha means face. Shanmukha, therefore, means the one with six faces. And Natha means the Lord or Master. Now, why is the Lord adored as the one with six faces? Lord Subramanya, as I mentioned before, is the second son of Mother Parvati and Lord Shiva. Legend has it that when Lord Shiva burnt Manmatha, the god of love and desire who was trying to disturb his meditation, his third eye opened. And then, when this happened, six sparks emanated from the Lord's forehead and rushed through space, and Vayu and Agni, the wind god and fire god, carried these sparks and dropped them into river Ganga. Ganga, in turn, took them to a tank of shrubs called Saravana Pogai. On reaching that tank, the sparks assumed the form of six children of wondrous beauty, and each baby lay on a lotus. Mother Parvati then lifted all these babies together and she called them Skanda. And at that instant, all the six forms fused into one deity with six faces and 12 hands. And that is how this deity got the name Shanmukha, or the one with six faces. The six faces represent the six attributes of jnana, wisdom, vairagya, dispassion, bala, strength, kirti, fame, shri, wealth, and aishwarya, divine powers. They denote that he is the cosmic person with countless heads. He is the omnipotent one. He is the one who can multiply and assumes forms at his will. That is Lord Subramanya. So in this line, we hail the Lord who is the universal absolute, the one who represents the six supreme qualities of wisdom, dispassion, strength, fame, wealth, and divine powers and prosperity. Let's move on to the second line.
Shiva 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 Subramanyam Hara 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 Subramanyam.
Here the word Shiva occurs four times. It refers to Lord Shiva and it literally means auspiciousness, goodness, prosperity. The word Hara also occurs four times in this line, and this too is an appellation of Lord Shiva, the master of destruction, because he is adored as the one who is responsible for the final dissolution of the universe. Bhagwan Baba explains that the word Hara is derived from the root Har, which means to destroy or remove. The inner meaning being, Lord Shiva is the one who destroys our negative tendencies. Since Lord Subramanya emerged from the sparks that came out of Lord Shiva's third eye, he is considered the incarnation of pure intelligence, because the third eye denotes the eye of wisdom or jnana. Therefore, in this line, we sing praises to the one who is wisdom incarnate, Shiva 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 Subramanyam Hara 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 Subramanyam, the beloved son of Lord Shiva, who is eternally auspicious and who destroys our negative qualities. Let's move on to the third line.
Shiva Shiva Hara Hara Subramanyam Hara Hara Shiva Shiva Subramanyam.
All the words in this line are known to us. In this line, we glorify both the Father, Lord Shiva, and his darling son, Lord Subramanya. Let's move on to the fourth line.
Shiva Sharavana Bhava Subramanyam, Guru Sharavana Bhava Subramanyam.
We are familiar with the word Shiva. The second and fifth word in this line is Saravana Bhava. Saravana refers to a shrub that grows in plenty in marshy areas. As the Lord incarnated in a tank surrounded on all sides by the shrub, he is called Saravana Bhava. In fact, the mantra dedicated to Lord Shanmukha is the six-syllabled word Saravana Bhava. The fourth word in this line is Guru. There is an interesting legend about why Lord Subramanya is called Guru or the teacher. Once Lord Subramanya, as a young lad, questioned Lord Brahma about the meaning of the sacred mystic syllable Om. But Lord Brahma could not give a convincing and elaborate explanation. And so Lord Subramanya, also called as Lord Kartikeya, suspended Lord Brahma from his duties and imprisoned him. Now when this news reached Lord Shiva and Mother Parvati, they objected to this. And then Lord Shiva playfully challenged his son Subramanya to explain to him the meaning of Om, but the child refused to do so unless Lord Shiva became his disciple. And Lord Shiva was so fond of his child that he did become a disciple and then got the explanation from the child's lips. So here the child literally became a teacher to the father and imparted this universal cosmic mantra to Lord Shiva himself, and that is how he came to be called as Guru. In fact, among the six main shrines dedicated to Lord Subramanya in Tamil Nadu, the shrine at Swamimalai is the one that celebrates this significant event. Hence in this line, Shiva Sharavana Bhava Subramanyam, Guru Sharavana Bhava Subramanyam, we extol the Lord who is the son of Lord Shiva, who taught the significance of Om to his own father, the one who was born in a tank surrounded on all sides by the shrub Saravana. Let's move on to the fifth line.
Shiva Shiva Hara Hara Subramanyam Hara Hara Shiva Shiva Subramanyam.
This is a repeat of the third line of this bhajan. And here an episode from the life of Mr. Chidambaram Krishnan comes to mind. He was a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan from the state of Tamil Nadu. Before he met Baba, he was an ardent devotee of Lord Subramanya. When Mr. Chidambaram met Baba for the first time, Bhagwan revealed his omniscience by narrating many incidents from his life. Still, it took a lot of time for this devotee to have complete faith in Bhagwan. For him, Lord Subramanya was the only God, and he felt that Bhagwan was just a human being but with some divine powers. On one occasion in Prashanti Nilayam Mandir, Bhagwan narrated incidents that are not recorded in the published versions of Ramayana and declared that he knows everything since he is Rama himself. Similarly, the next day, Swami declared that he is Krishna. Now, Chidambaram got fed up listening to this because deep in his heart, he wondered how a man could call himself God. And so, disgusted, he left Puttaparthi and went to his hometown. Interestingly, Mr. Chidambaram's marriage, which had earlier not materialized due to many major problems, was smoothened out by Bhagwan. In fact, just that day, Baba had graciously spoken to him and had made all arrangements for conducting the wedding ceremony in Puttaparthi itself. So when Mr. Chidambaram went home, his elder brother asked what had happened and why he had returned so suddenly. And then Mr. Chidambaram said, I have always been ardently worshipping Lord Muruga, and therefore I simply cannot accept these declarations of Baba. For me, there is no God other than Lord Muruga, and that is why I just came away from Puttaparthi. And on hearing this, his brother became furious. In fact, he was very disappointed, and he said, "You are a mad fellow, and you don't even understand when it is told. You can do whatever you want." Now, Chidambaram was very upset, and he did not know what to do. He wanted some solace from the Lord himself, so he went to Tiruchendur, one of the 6 important shrines of Lord Muruga in Tamil Nadu, and he prayed to that Lord, "Oh Lord, I was disloyal to you and went after a man who says he is God. Please forgive my temporary betrayal." And then he performed elaborate rituals in grand style in that temple by way of atoning for what he believed was a sin. And after all this was over, he felt better and then returned home. And that night, around 4:30 a.m., he had a strange dream in which he saw himself standing before the idol of Lord Subramanya in Tiruchendur. And on either side of the Lord were the Lord's consorts, Valli and Devyayanai. And he saw suddenly all these 3 idols came alive, and they were all laughing loudly, and the 2 consorts of the Lord were telling Lord Subramanya, "This fellow is a mad cab. Why are you even giving him darshan?" And on hearing this, Mr. Chidambaram in the dream, he became very angry and he retorted, "No, I am not mad. No, I am not mad." And then the 2 consorts now turned to him and said, "You are mad. Nothing but mad. That is why you don't understand anything." And now, even as all this was happening, Chidambaram saw that Lord Subramanya disappeared from the scene, and in his place there appeared an old man whom Mr. Chidambaram could not recognize at that time because he had never ever seen before a photograph of Shirdi Sai Baba. And when that happened, Devyayanai now told Shirdi Baba, who was in the center, "This is a mad fellow. He does not understand anything. Why are you giving darshan to him?" And again, Mr. Chidambaram was so upset, he protested. He said, "No, I am not mad." And then, suddenly, Shirdi Baba too faded away. And now, in that place, stood Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba. And now, again, everyone laughed. And Chidambaram protested why they were laughing at him. In fact, he started arguing furiously, and when he started doing this, he saw that suddenly an elephant appeared, and that simply shook him. He was frightened suddenly seeing that elephant out of nowhere. And then he says, I don't know what happened to me. I just blurted out. I said, yes, I now understand. I now understand. All are same. All are same. And the dream did not end there. The Lord's consort, Valli, then demanded of Chidambaram, at least from now, will you behave yourself? She asked Chidambaram. And this devotee replied feebly, yes, yes, Divine Mother. Just as he said this, he woke up with a jolt. And in fact, only then he realized that all this was a dream. And then he began to reflect, what does all this mean? Did I have a dream just because I was thinking intensely about all these matters? Is it my imagination? Or is it that Swami deliberately is giving me this experience? And so he said to himself, this very minute I shall leave for Puttaparthi. And once I reach Puttaparthi, if on his own Swami makes a reference to this dream, then I know for sure that it was no accident, but it was all set up by Bhagwan himself. I know that Swami is God. On the other hand, if Swami does not refer to this dream and instead scolds me for leaving Prashantanilam without informing him, then I know that he is only a man. And so, 5:30 a.m. he started driving his car towards Puttaparthi, all the way from Tirunelveli, his hometown. He reached Puttaparthi around 8:30 in the night. This happened in the 60s. As he came into the ashram through a gate which used to be where the Gopuram is located now, even as he got out of the car, Professor Kasturi came out of the mandir and he walked straight to him and said, go upstairs, Swami wants you there, he is waiting for you. Mr. Chidambaram was actually taken aback completely because he had not sent message to anyone about his arrival to Puttaparthi. And when he went to Swami's presence in the mandir, Swami looked at him, smiled, and then said, so you have come. At least after the dream you felt like coming back, didn't you? And the moment Chidambaram heard those words, he says, that one sentence changed my life forever. He fell at Bhagwan's feet with tears rolling down his cheeks and he cried, Swami, please forgive me, please forgive me. From this moment, I have no one except you. And Swami so magnanimously said, oh, this is nothing. It is all fine. You can go wherever you want and worship whichever God you desire. But know this for sure. Wherever you go, I will be there. That is Swami. That is Subramanya. And that is the cosmic Lord, however we may relate to him. How beautiful it is. If we have this going on in our mind and visualizing the Lord and his such beautiful various forms as we sing this bhajan. Dear listeners, with that we are done with gaining a glimpse of the meaning of every word of this bhajan. Let's now proceed to listening to the complete version of this bhajan as it is sung by Bhagwan himself. And as you hear the Lord, please join and sing again.
Subramanyam, 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 Jai Subramanyam, 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 Shiva, శరవణ భవ సుబ్రహ్మణ్యం శరవణ భవ సుబ్రహ్మణ్యం ఓం శరవణ భవ సుబ్రహ్మణ్యం శరవణ భవ సుబ్రహ్మణ్యం శివ శివ హర హర సుబ్రహ్మణ్యం హర సుబ్రహ్మణ్యం సుబ్రహ్మణ్యం Subramanyam, Subramanyam, Chandra.
So that is the electrifying Subramanyam Subramanyam by Swami himself. And now let's move on to the last part of this program, and you will now hear a small excerpt of a presentation made during the National Bhajan Workshop held in the Brindavan Ashram in June 2013.
In fact, if you look at raga, the raga is pretty much made up of two basic components. One is Shruti and the other is melody. And there was this great accomplished singer who has come several times to Bhagwan. He was saying that if you take all your harkats and your murkiyas and all your, you know, we call it curves per second, the number of curves per second you can give. Okay, you keep all that and put it on one side of the balance, and you put only sur or shruti on one side of the balance, it would probably move on to this side, on the shruti side. That is how important shruti is. See, without shruti, the curves per second will go for a toss. Okay, you would probably get into a spin, okay, and mess up the entire bhajan. So that is the importance that he gives to swar or to shruti.
How many times we have seen, you know, during bhajans, when the singer goes a little off key, Swami's face will, he will just make that sign to, try to indicate to you that, you know, you're out of shruti, just come back on note, you know.
In fact, yes, Swami uses the word apaswaram.
Apaswaram.
And in fact, this apaswaram could have double, triple, you know, meanings. Apaswaram in life also could be mentioned through apaswaram only. Meaning when you are not on shruti in your life, then also you could use up. So you will think, hey, but my bhajan was pretty much in shruti. There is some apaswaram in your life.
Why only singers? Even the tablists, no? So many times you have seen Swami indicate to the tablist that the tabla is not tuned. They would have tuned it, and sometimes because of the weather, it would go a little off key, and Swami would be so keenly observing shruti in all these different instruments, even tabla, and during bhajans we have seen them tune, while the bhajan is going on, somebody would tune. So the importance of shruti during a bhajan is always keep yourself...
Yeah, cannot be overemphasized.
The next component would be probably breath control. Breath control during singing is of utmost importance. One of the defects that wrong kind of breathing would give to the voice is probably the voice would crack. So there was this one of our elder brothers who was a very good singer, but his voice was prone to cracking. And he was at his wit's end, he did not know why it was happening. One day Swami told him, you are breathing the wrong way. You must practice breathing the correct way. You are not giving your lungs enough work to do. He said, you can even do something as simple as jogging. He said, that will give your lungs enough work to do and learn to breathe the proper way. This elder brother went on to do this. In fact, I remember I used to see him jogging in the ground all of a sudden. Then I was wondering why. And he said, this is what Swami had said. I thought it was a weight loss program. He said, no, it was a crack loss program for the voice. And then he lost the crack in his voice. And he sang for many years after that. There was no crack in his voice after that. So this is how important breathing and the correct use of lung power is.
Where to take a breath in bhajans is also very, very critical. For example, Jaya Jaya Shankari Jaya Parameshwari, and our typical is Jaya Shiva Shankari Ma. Did you notice here we sang Jaya Shiva Shankari Ma? Actually that doesn't make any meaning. It is Jaya Shiva Shankari Ma. That ma is what we are actually elongating, but our tendency is to take the break after ma. Ma. Ah. So where to take the breath is also very, very important, especially in a long bhajan like
गोविंद गोविंद गाइए रे भजो राधे गोपाल कृष्ण गाइए हे.
So where do we take a break, especially in such long bhajans?
So that was brothers Ravi Kumar, Amay and Siddhartha in June 2013 in the Vrindavan Ashram. And with that, we have reached the end of the present episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. We hope you enjoyed it and found it useful. Dear listeners, please do send us your feedback. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. The sound engineers for this program are Sunil and Abhishek, and the background music was done by another alumnus from Chennai, T.S. Ramakrishnan. With hearts full of love and gratitude, we place this humble offering at the lotus feet of our most merciful Lord. So with that, it's time to draw the curtains on this segment of Thursday Live from the studios. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and my colleagues Prem and Sai Prakash are waiting for our next program, the series based on Bhagwan's discourses, Shravanam, Mananam, Nityadhyasanam. So they will take you through for 60 minutes, and after that I will be back for yet another episode of Outside, Inside and Deep Inside. Today we will listen to the first part of a program that I have called it His Voice, His Voice, His Mission. We will listen to the reflections of two former students of Baba's University who have chosen to stay back in Prashanthi Nilayam and serve in the Sri Sathya Sai Central Trust. That is a very riveting and very inspiring conversation. So we'll come to that 1 hour from now. For the present, Shravanam, Mananam, Nityadhyasanam. Thank you so much for being with us all through the day. Continue listening to this Thursday live broadcast from the studios. Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam.